The following podcast contains language that may be offensive to some listeners.
From NPR Music, this is Alt Latino.
Be careful with me. Be careful with me.
I'm Felix Contreras.
I'm Jasmine Garst. Next week, the Spanish language network Univision is going to be broadcasting the 13th annual Latin Grammy Awards. And I wouldn't even say we have a love-hate relationship with the Latin Grammys. I hate the Grammys.
Don't hold back. Just tell us exactly.
You know, I just think of the Grammys in general like a thrift store. There's a lot of stuff being recycled that is not very good. And then if you dig around, you find some real gems.
That's really good. You held out. That's very good. And in that spirit, what we've decided to do is poke around in that thrift store of Grammy categories and the numerous categories. What you see on television is just a handful of the many awards that they give. And while we do have a problem, we both have a problem with some of the songs, some of the music that is nominated and performed, there are a lot of hidden gems in those categories, and that's what we're digging out today. And we're starting with
Mambo, the Mambo Legends, actually. This is from the album Watch Out, Ten Cuidado. And the name of the song is
Watch Out,
Ten Cuidado.
Watch your step. I'm watching your moves. Francis dice, cita, ten cuidado.
Felix, we've had this conversation, and we've had it even with some guest hosts. It seems the consensus is that old school classic salsa and mambo is awesome. Everyone loves it. And then something happened and it kind of stagnated. That's how you feel about it, right?
There's a certain sound that's associated with the salsa from the 70s that came from the Fania All-Stars and those recordings and the smaller labels as well. Coming from New York, from the mid, you know, early 70s on through, probably just about the late 70s, there's a certain sound. And then it started to get more commercialized. It started to sound the same. And while it takes a lot of effort, a lot of skill to play this music, it still sounded like they were doing it in their sleep. This band is recreating the sound of what they call, of what we call the big three, Tito Puente, Machito, and Tito Rodriguez, from the golden era of the mambo, which is the 1950s in New York. They all played at this amazing dance studio called the Palladium Ballroom in New York, and that's where the big three played, and that's what this band is recreating.
Well, and the mambo legends are the former musicians of the Tito Puente Orchestra. And, you know, I think that's probably why I love this so much, because I live for classic salsa and mambo. I love that stuff. And so it always kind of pains me when I go through the tropical categories and I don't find anything I actually like. Yeah. Because it's just so synthesizer heavy and just so polished, and the vocals are just doing that whole American Idol vibrato thing that is... It just doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel salsa. And I was really happy and excited to find Mambo Legends nominated for a Best Salsa Album, because I think this sounds old school, but it's also playful. It doesn't take itself too seriously, and it's just good. It's just got that grimy salsa nightclub feel to it.
And you know, when you consider some of the guys in the band, the three leaders of the band, a guy named Mitch Froman, who's a horn player who played with Tito Puente for a long time. And then Jose Madera, who's the musical arranger and the conga player and the timbale player, played with Puente for decades. And his father actually played with Machito back in the 40s and the 50s. And then John Dandy Rodriguez is the bongo player, and he played with Puente since he was like 17 years old in the early 60s. He did a lot of other stuff. So these guys are the real deal, and they're dedicated to that sound. And they're all very nice guys and accomplished musicians.
I hope you finally found out who's the real deal here, all right?
Here we go, go!
I I love this band so much. Can we hear Birdland?
Let's hear their version of the Weather Report tune that became almost a hit, but done in a mambo fashion. This is Birdland. Old school. This could be like from the Solad in Havana, Rumba Huahuanco, that they start with. And then they drop in the very famous opening notes of Birdland. This is a classic. This is a great cut. I'm so happy they were nominated.
Right?
They deserve the recognition.
When we started the show, we talked about how we kind of dislike the Latin Grammys and the Grammys in general. And now might be a good time to explain why.
With the Grammys in general, all kind of award shows, I think, in general. Because number one, I think music is not a competition. So they pit people against each other. Just like in the Academy Awards, you know, there's that element of competition to it that isn't very fair. Although they try to categorize things and make it seem fair. But it's not a competition, so that's one of my principal beefs with it. But the other problem I have is they seem to go for the least common denominator. They seem to go for the stuff that's popular, and popular isn't always the best artistic expression. With the Latin Grammys, they're 13 years old now. Some years they select a lot of great music, and other years, like I think this year, there's just not a lot of great music that has been selected, but there's a lot of great music that's been made.
It just seems like the same people doing the same thing over and over and over again. And there's just so much new stuff happening. And, you know, it's really exciting. Some of the people that we're going to hear on the show today, it's exciting that they've been nominated. I mean, someone like Carla Morrison, who's relatively a newcomer. But there could be so much more of that. No worries. We got your back. Like we said, we're digging through and bringing you what we are most excited about.
And you're going to hear a little bit of music that you don't normally hear on the show because we will address the Latin alternative category. But there's going to be some instrumental stuff. There's going to be some jazz. There's going to be some more Cuban music. So there's a nice potpourri of stuff that we're going to hear. Since we're in the Palladium era of the 1950s, let's stay back there metaphorically. Let's stay back there and go to an album that was nominated in the Best Jazz category. This is the Chano Pozo medley from the album Chano y Dizzy from Poncho Sanchez featuring Terrence Blanchard.
One of the things that I love about the genre is the way the instruments and vocalists are having a conversation with each other. The singer is saying, you know, oye mi negra, no sé qué, and then the trumpet is responding to him.
Right.
Like it's his woman responding. And to me, that's... it goes beyond poetry. It goes beyond visual art. It's just beautiful. You're comparing your woman to this gorgeous trumpet.
Oh,
Felix, that's...
I'm a jazz fan, yes.
You're a jazz tech.
Jazz tech.
And I'm very interested by how these exiled Cuban musicians ended up embracing jazz, and how when the Castro regime took over, jazz was not well seen. It was seen as a form of cultural imperialism.
Oh, man. Okay. This was, without having to turn the whole show over into a history lesson, you know, jazz was popular in Cuba before the revolution. Because jazz became, if you think about Las Vegas, Atlantic City, you know, it was a playground for people to go and play, because they had the Tropicana nightclub, which was very, very famous for shows. They put on shows with dance girls and elaborate orchestrations and all that. So a lot of the jazz musicians would go over and hang out and watch that. Jazz musicians would go to Cuba and play.
And it was an American, it was a gangster's paradise.
It was. More or less a gangster's paradise, and people, that's where the money was, and that's, there's always been an interesting line between gangster money and musicians and what they can do with it, and what, and how they support the industry.
And when the Cuban Revolution took place, I mean, a lot of the line of thinking was, we're tired of being a gangster's paradise and being exploited. So I imagine that jazz fell through that, right?
Jazz became unpopular in Cuba. In the short version explanation, jazz did become unpopular, and
because it was associated with that debauchery,
it was associated with the United States, you know, and that's pretty much, they didn't like, the government didn't like that, didn't prefer that, so it went underground, and like I said, that it's nuanced, it's complex,
we're gonna explore it in a show
there are ways,
yeah, to theaters near you,
but all that to say is that, you know, even before all of that happened, a lot of the major developments in Latin jazz happened here in New York, with Cuban musicians from Cuba and jazz musicians. Like I said, Dizzy Gillespie and Chano Pozo in 1947, around about the same time, there was a guy named Frank Grillo that he called himself Machito. He had the best band, I think, ever. Still to this day, Machito's Afro-Cubans were the Latin jazz band, because they combined the big band jazz of Duke Ellington, Chick Webb, all of those guys, and the small group ensemble sound with conga and the tres, you know, like a conjunto sound, and they mastered it. The Afro-Cubans, if you listen to some of the old recordings from the late 40s, early 50s, it still gives me chills. It's still the best stuff I've ever heard, and it sounds as fresh today as it did back in 1947. It's just stunning. So a lot of the music recorded back then influenced this sound, and then it went from there. In fact, that's a nice segue into our next artist, because now we're going to play another nominee for Best Jazz Album. This is by the gentleman by the name of Jerry Gonzalez. Now, if you could imagine, Jerry Gonzalez is a conga player. He's also a trumpet player. So when you hear this track, he's playing congas, and then later on goes back and records the trumpet part, plays the lead part. And when he performs with his band, the band here in the United States called Fort Apache, he alternates between the two. This is with the band that he has in Spain called El Comando de la Clave.
This is so good. I almost wonder if when we talk about salsa and mambo just not living up to what it was back in the day, if it's because it was so good, there was just no improving it.
I don't know about that. I mean, because this is a new album. This is from this year, and this is what, it's in that spirit. that spirit of exploration, that spirit of using the parameters of what's called Latin jazz.
Sure.
And in this case, this a lot of people refer to this as jazz Latin because it's more jazz,
huh,
and then the Latin's underneath. It's in that spirit where they construct something new, because this is something he did in an album with his other band called Fort Apache back in 1991, and this is one of their favorite tunes. I've played in bands with this song, and this song is an amazing, it's a lot of fun to play because there's so many areas to explore. It's a Cuban huahuanco underneath, which is the rhythm, and then there's jazz changes in the chords of the piano on top. There's Afro-Cuban rumba patterns and all the other instruments underneath. So I don't know that it's the older stuff is better. There are still people now playing stuff that is still very vibrant, very exploratory.
I've heard Spanglish be described as the ultimate form of jazz because it plays on each other rhythmically, and you're playing with the other speaker, and you're improvising. And I think in general, I mean, every time I'm in Latin America and I'm just seeing everything being kind of improvised and moving rapidly and things working, even though they're not supposed to, and this perfectly unchoreographed choreography, I think of jazz.
It's so true. That's very nice.
That was just beautiful, Felix.
And now we're going to try something a little different. So we want to invite somebody to come into the studio with us.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Tom.
How you doing?
Good.
Good.
Tom Heisinger is our classical music expert.
Oh, something like that, I guess.
Tom is one of the two people responsible for the Deceptive Cadence blog here on NPR Music. And he's joining us to talk about classical music because while we both have an appreciation, we're not even close to being qualified to talk about the classical nominations in the Latin Grammys. Like we said, there is a lot of great music there. There's a classical category. So, Tom, welcome.
Hey, thanks. That's why I make the big bucks. It's classical music, you know.
What are we listening to? What is this?
Well, we are listening to something that is nominated on the Latin Grammy list here in the classical department, and that is music from a Puerto Rican composer named Ernesto Cordero. He actually teaches guitar at the University of Puerto Rico right now, and the record that is being considered is on the Naxos label, and it contains a concerto, guitar concerto that he wrote for Spanish guitarist Pepe Romero.
Oh, that's beautiful. I like what he's, the guitar work that you pointed out.
Yeah, there's the little whiffs of tango and flamenco going on. And in some of the other music on the disc, he actually weaves in some flavors from the island, including there's kind of a homage to Puerto Rico's golden hummingbird, and even some Caribbean dance elements that are actually, you know, way back when they're African in origin. So it's a record that really reflects not only Puerto Rico, but other Latin American countries as well.
This is good. You love this.
You know,
I do. I think this is a good choice. You know, like looking at the list here, you know, there are quite a few things on it. I mean, there's the Dvorak Seventh Symphony, and, you know, Dvorak is from Czechoslovakia. Wouldn't catch him speaking Spanish. But the reason why it's on the list is because the conductor is a Latino. So, and that always kind of, I don't know, maybe that strikes me as a little bit weird, but frankly, in the classical music world, I don't really think that much about whether people are Latino or whether they're Chinese or whether they're American, because the whole classical scene is so international anyway.
Right.
You know,
right.
So I'll be honest, there are a few records here that I don't know anything about that caught me kind of by surprise.
Is there anyone that you feel should just not be on that list?
Well, to be honest, there's a record that I've heard quite a bit that I don't really like that much, although the composer is Francisco Mignone. He's a Brazilian composer, and he wrote some string quartets, and the Quarteto Latinoamericano put out a record of these quartets way early in the year, and I could not ever quite get into it.
And I think let's talk a little bit about the history of classical music or symphonic music within Latin America, because maybe a lot of people don't realize that it has a long history. It goes back quite a ways.
Oh, there's a super long history. And even...
Give us the entire history. Guys, sorry, this is going to be a really long show.
Once upon a time, there was a caveman who beat on a piece of wood.
Jose.
Right. No, there is a long tradition. We usually think of classical music as kind of like European dead white guys, but there's definitely a long tradition in Latin America, both in operatic music and symphonic music. And, I mean, just if you take Mexico... you know, there are several huge figures in classical music just from Mexico, like Carlos Chávez, who was interested in pre-Columbian music and who was influential, who was an influence on American composers like Aaron Copland and Leonard Bernstein. So there's a huge tradition.
And I think also the stereotype is that it sounds very European, but as some of your selection today, that Puerto Rican composer shows, I mean, there's a lot of fusing of elements.
Right. And then there's kind of the stereotype where people talk about Latin American classical music and they're thinking of the Spanish guitar. You know, and that's about as far as it goes. But it really runs...
With like a button-down shirt.
it runs way deeper than that. You know, when I look on the list, then I see certain things that, you know, I think of the music that I've listened to in the last year, and there are a couple of things that probably should have been on the list. I mean, one is this fabulous pianist, Jorge Luis Prats. Have you ever heard of him?
No.
It's probably because he's from Cuba, and he won an important European piano competition back in 1977, and then since then he had a tough time really making a career and touring and traveling freely. An album that was released this past spring, he recorded in Spain, and that was reportedly his first kind of big European comeback recital. So it's a sweet story. This guy's 55 years old. He signs with a really swanky label now, and he's got this terrific record that was recorded live. And I think we should hear just a little bit of it. It's music of Heitor Villa-Lobos, the Brazilian composer, and part of his Baquianas Brasileiras No. 4. It's a vigorous dance, but there's a little folk tune that you can hear that comes in a moment just kind of from afar. It's really beautiful. Pianist Jorge Luis Prats in a record called, it's just called Live from Zaragoza, which is where he recorded it.
Tom Huizenga, thank you so much for coming in and sharing some Latin Grammy nominations in the classical field.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
So we're in a definitely very chill, mellow mood. And I think that might be a great way to transition into our Latin alternative category. What do you think?
Definitely. Let's do it.
Estado recordando los momentos que te di, cuántos tú me diste y por qué ahora estoy aquí. Sentada en el suelo pensando que te quiero, que te quise tanto y que tu amor me es necesario. Déjenme llorar, quiero sacarlo de mi pecho con mi llanto.
I am so excited about this nomination. This is Carla Morrison from Mexico. This is the album Déjenme Llorar, or Let Me Cry, really one of our favorites of the year. And she earned 4 nominations, but not only for Best Alternative Album and Alternative Song. 2 major nominations for Carla Morrison, Best Album of the Year and Best Song of the Year. That's huge.
This is a case where the Academy actually got it right for a change, because they chose somebody beyond the mainstream. I think we can consider Carla an alternative artist.
Absolutely.
But with mainstream appeal in this case.
Yeah.
Because we love her for her talent and her voice and her songwriting. We've played her music a lot on this show because we're such big fans, and we're very, very happy, like you said, that she got nominated.
Speaking of amazing singers, check this out. This is Martinalia. Martinalia from Brazil. Namora comigo. Fall in love with me.
Hoje eu estou sozinha, você está na minha. Não adianta se esconder. Já não tem mais jeito, tudo está perfeito. Agora é só eu e você. Juntos na mesma estrada, atravessando a madrugada, pra ver o sol nascer, em nossa aurora perceber a delícia de viver, tudo que a gente sempre quis, olhar nos olhos de alguém. E consegui dizer, estou feliz.
Again, finding gems amidst all the names Who is this? This, I mean, who is she? This is so nice.
So Martinalia Mendoza is a singer and songwriter and percussionist. She's carioca. She's from Rio de Janeiro. She's worked very closely with legends like Maria Bethania, Caetano Veloso. I first discovered Martinalia through a collaboration with Brazilian rapper Emicida, which we've played on our show, the song Quero Ver Quarta Feira. And I really loved her voice. And this is a song, Namora Conmigo, Fall in Love With Me. And the album is called No Tente Comprender, Don't Try to Understand. It's nominated for Best Brazilian Contemporary Pop Album. Musically, the album is a little bit too pop for me. But her voice, I love it.
It's stunning.
It's just so smoky and thick and heartfelt. And it just takes me back to, you know, people like Carla Morrison, who maybe their voice isn't this impeccable
instrument,
but that's not the point. The point is that it's so filled with emotion that sometimes it just leaks.
Fica comigo, namora comigo, casa comigo, viva comigo até o fim, porque eu sou seu abrigo, não tem mais perigo. Fica comigo, namora comigo até o fim.
You know, Brazilian music is one of the areas where they have multiple categories, and it's, I think any category would be an area of exploration because so much of it is not heard here in the United States on a regular basis. We're going to continue with the best instrumental category, and this year, as our friend Tom Huizinga was talking about earlier, some of the stuff in this category makes no sense. And specifically, there's a great album by Chick Corea, Eddie Gomez, and a drummer named Paul Motion. It's a great jazz album. It's an instrumental jazz album. It's a trio album. I really like the album, but it makes no sense for it to be in this category because Eddie Gomez played on it. You know, I don't get it. I don't understand it. There were so many instrumental albums that we played on our show that surely should have been included. But enough with what shouldn't be there. The Academy did have the sense to include an album called Alma Adentro, the Puerto Rican Songbook, and it's by a saxophonist by the name of Miguel Zenon, who is one of the rising stars of jazz right now, not just Latin jazz, but jazz. And I think I know why, because what Miguel Zenon did with this album, with a trio of albums, is that he went back and explored music from his native island of Puerto Rico. And in this case, he chose classic Puerto Rican songwriters and reinterpreted their music. And what fascinates me about Miguel Zenon, another Puerto Rican saxophonist named David Sanchez, a Venezuelan pianist named Ed Simon, musicians like that. They're all 30-somethings, and they're all playing jazz, but adding in influences from their country. So it's not clave-driven. It's not Afro-Cuban. It's not something that you would recognize. They're reimagining. They're recreating. They're doing something new, and this album is just a fascinating, deep exploration of songwriting and song arrangement. Now, to give you an idea of what I see as the genius behind Miguel Zenon's work, here is iconic Puerto Rican vocalist Tito Rodriguez singing the song Tiemblas, which is the song that Miguel is reinterpreting.
Tiemblas, cada vez que me ves, yo sé que tiemblas. No hay misterio de ti que yo no entienda. Porque tratas de ocultar.
Here's what I love about this. In the background, it's very frantic. Agreed?
Sort of.
Like the percussion, and it feels frantic. And then the saxophone is very mellow and calm. And to me, I always feel weird talking about jazz because, like I said, I'm no connoisseur, but I love it.
But this is perfect. This is perfect because I'm a big jazz fan, and I really like for people to talk about jazz that don't know a lot about it because it's just honest. So I'm very appreciative of how you're explaining this.
So for me, what it feels like is like walking through a crazy busy city calmly. And there's all this crazy traffic and people, and you're just calm and walking through it because you are that saxophone.
You know, I recently had a very wonderful opportunity to moderate a panel discussion with my good friend Marvet Perez from the Smithsonian and Miguel Zenon. And we talked about the album. And he is a very sincere, very serious musician who's very dedicated to his culture, or I should say his two cultures, his Puerto Rican culture and his jazz culture. I just think the future of the music is resting on this kind of stuff.
Really?
I just think the world of these guys, these young jazz musicians who are exploring their culture through jazz.
So you kind of brought things to the table today that I was expecting. I do want to say, one of the things I love about doing this show is how much I challenge my tastes. In preparing this show that we're airing today, I fell in love with an entirely new genre of music.
Really?
Yes. Felix, I want you to meet my new boyfriend. It's called Vallenato.
Que yo la enamoraba.
I think it's a genre that I never really dove into. And I think it's very important that the Recording Academy recognizes that and selects as a whole category for it to give these musicians, because they're not touring the world. They're not doing all the great big concerts. They're out there making a living, struggling. And something like this, a Latin Grammy nomination even, is a big deal for them.
And it goes to show that you love things when you're ready. Because we went to Valle del Par when we were in Colombia. Remember, Felix?
Yep.
We toured Colombia for what? 2-3 weeks?
2 weeks.
And we went to Valle del Par, which is the birthplace of Vallenato. Vallenato literally means born of the valley. Vallenato. And we were there, and we had a lot of people play Vallenato. We saw a children's Vallenato school, and it was really nice, but I was very excited about some other forms of music that we were exploring. And it's funny, like, something about me is just ready to love this form of music. I think what I love about it is that, and I mean this in a totally loving way, it sounds almost broken. Do you hear that, though, in voice, in the accordion?
Oh, yeah.
It sounds like broken toys.
Broken toys is a good way of putting it. And just a rawness. Intense rawness and genuine sound, genuine expression.
This is the song Sueño con María, I Dream of María, and it just tells the story of how he dreams that he makes María fall in love with him. And the album is called Le Canta San Jacinto, and it's nominated for Best Cumbia Vallenato Album.
It was by Juan Piña and Rodrigo Rodriguez. You mentioned that I brought music that you expected me to bring. And since my background in music is so much in Afro-Cuban music, I guess I did lean that way a little bit more than I thought. And I'm going to bring one more song. But this is from a category of Best Long-Form Video. And it's about a gentleman by the name of Manuel Galván. He's a guitar player from Cuba, and he's got an interesting history that we'll hear about in a second. But we're going to play his music and then explain who he is, and then why the video's nominated, and why I like it so much. This is a very clean sounding guitar. There's not a lot of effects. It's just basically the guitar going through the amplifier, and that's what Manuel Galván did. He passed away last year. He passed away at his home in Havana. He's a guitarist from Havana, and he was a member of a group called Los Zafiros, and they were a vocal group in the 60s that was like American doo-wop, and he played all this really tasty, beautiful guitar stuff behind it. They were inspired by the doo-wop groups here in the United States, people like the Platters, but their music was a fusion of Cuban genres, and they called it feeling. The video was released along with an album called Blue Cha-Cha. And like I said, it was released after he passed away. It's a very beautiful video of him telling his story. They recorded him, they videotaped him before he passed. And he tells his story, and other people tell his story too. He's one of these forgotten gems, one of these forgotten behind-the-scenes musicians who were very important and who made really beautiful, wonderful music. And if you can go out and find the album and get the DVD, please do, because it's a great, great story and like I said, just amazing music.
But I love what I brought next even more. Always ruining the party, this Jasmine character.
There was no way to successfully... here's what I did. Was I saved the guitar track before we played your last track because there's guitar in it. And there really is no way to...
There's no way to transition smoothly. So let's just hit it.
But before we hit it, we should say the following song contains language that may be considered offensive by some listeners.
Siempre tienes carita con la boca metida en las cosas donde nada te importa. Mejor no te metas donde nadie te llama. Aquí nadie te quiere, aquí nadie te extraña. Dime, ¿quién te cedió la palabra? Te pones a hablar, luego nadie te calla. ¿Por qué no lo piensas y no lo dices? Que nunca te cansas de meter las narices. ¿Por qué no te ahorras tus comentarios? ¿Por qué te tendremos que escuchar a diario? Se sabe en su casa, en todo el vecindario. Hay que estar escondidas porque sabes que caga el palo. Abuela, tu jefa, el puto de tu hermano. Se pone borracho, se pone marihuano. Me quiere joder y quiere chupar. ¿Por qué no chupa faros? Me deja de molestar. A mí, a mi gente, a mi broda, compadre. Busca algún pretexto para romperle la madre. Para que nadie se quede sin hablar. Para que todos chinguemos igual.
All right.
So, this is Chinga Tu Madre. Felix,
no.
As our local jazz tech, do you care to...
No.
It's just telling you to F off, basically. And this is Molotov, of course, the Mexican rap rock group that at this point is just iconic from the album Deje Rusia Con Amor, From Russia With Love. They're nominated for Best Rock Album. And... I've heard this song so many times. You've heard this song so many times. It's still so, so good. And after seeing Molotov live for the first time in my life this year at Vive Latino, just being in the crowd with Molotov and everyone like yelling and screaming and sweating. So what I'm trying to say is that I love this album because it captures that live energy, which is so important to this band. And this was all taped when they were in Russia, touring through Russia.
What better way to end this week's show?
This is still Out Latino.
We want to remind you that you can hear each one of these songs in their entirety on our website at npr.org/altlatino.
And our conversation continues when the show ends on Facebook and Twitter. Don't forget to follow us because we talk about everything on Facebook and Twitter. We talk about culture, arts, movies. We have some pretty interesting debates on there.
And in relation to this week's show, we want to remind you that you can watch the Latin Grammys on the Univision Television Network on November 15th. They're coming live from Las Vegas this year. You know, tune in if you want a couple laughs. I'm Felix Contreras.
And I'm Jasmine Garst. This is Still Alt Latino. Chinga tu madre.